Vicky, thank you so much for that anointed song this morning. It was amazing. Thank you. Special thanks to Bob and Felicia. Are you here? There you are. Okay. We had our Wednesday evening summer barbecue last night, and Bob and Felicia hosted it. We had a terrific time at their home. Best time probably was just sitting around the campfire. Had a bonfire blazing and just kind of just spending time with each other. Just special time. You know, just having a chance to be together and having those relationships. And that's what God wants for us this morning. He wants to go into a place where you get to know him and he gets to show himself to you. There's a thing about men and women that, you know, we're hearing about how different they are. Men and women are so different. And men sometimes think they can fix anything. So, Frank, would you run that for me? Men can fix anything. Here are a couple of examples of things that men, the ingenuity of men. You know, men don't like to ask for directions. Women always do. Flip the next one. Here's a guy who had a unique way of taking care of a flat tire. Run it. Broken mailbox, no problem for a man. He can get some duct tape in a jar and no go. Okay, ready to go. Flip that next one. Who needs faucet handles when you got vice grips? Go to the next one. Broken steps. Just put a cement block in there. We got it ready to go. And here is a creative way of coming up with an irrigation system. A soda bottle with holes in it and toes going. That's ingenuity. Go to the next one. Couldn't find his front wheel, so we just used a sharpening cart to get where he has to go. And here's a very intelligent man, not having a jacket, making one of his own. And this guy decided he wouldn't move the tree, he would just trim around it to get into the door. Now here's a different look at women. If women ruled the world, take a look at this. Flip that next one. Okay, bowling alley, go to the next one. That's all you need, right? Go to the next one. Your own personalized mouse with makeup carrier. Go to the next one. And here is a woman's idea of what a speedometer should look like. You've got slow, bit slow, quick, and then up top says a bit scary, careful, hold on, shut your eyes. Okay, go to the next one. What every woman wants in a public restroom. I think that's it, right? Is that it? I think that's the last one. Okay. The problem is that we can't fix everything. We think we can fix everything, and as Christians, we become very creative in the way we come up with solutions. But it's not the way God wants it. God has a different idea. So Father, right now, we just again, just bow our heads and ask you to bless the breaking of your word this morning. Without you, Lord, none of this makes any difference. Your spirit brings us life. Your spirit brings word to your life. And Father, you know the needs of these people, your people here today. Specifically, you know what they need, Lord. Minister to them, we pray. By your spirit, through your word. And everyone said, amen. We're going to be going to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be reading, and this text will be up here this morning, but I encourage you to use your Bible too. You can follow through with it. I'll be using portions from the Message, Romans chapter 12, and portions from the New Living Translation, which those are also in your pews, pew Bibles. Last week, Pastor Jerry started Romans chapter 12, and he worked on verses 1 and 2, and he worked with the idea of a living sacrifice. Paul writing about a living sacrifice. Talked about, King James used the term, this is your reasonable service. Become a living sacrifice to God. And it's interesting because as Paul goes on, when he departs from those two verses, he gives a little warning. And he's very careful to elaborate because he's pretty sure that the people in the church at Rome, the Roman church, a letter he's writing to, that they're not going to quite get this idea. That they'll probably turn it around to something it isn't. What a living sacrifice really is, he was afraid possibly that they were going to focus on the wrong subject. the subject of themselves rather than the subject of God. The idea that our religious efforts, and this is what Christianity has done over the years and centuries, again and again and again, and we do it. We get to the idea of where we receive this gift from God by faith, but then we want to somehow add to it. And by our living sacrifice, we will somehow please God by our efforts. And that's not what it is. And that's not what he means. We somehow want to put religion, our human effort, into replacing what God has done with us by faith. So let's look at this today. Verse 3, and I'm going to read verse 3 from Romans 12. It'll be up here, and it's from The Message. Paul writing and speaking. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Did you get that? Let me read that part again. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are or what we do for him. The idea of being a living sacrifice isn't the idea of having graduated to a Christian master's degree, and I have now stepped up in my holy living, and in my living sacrifice, I'm going to give this back to God, and he's going to be so pleased with it. That's not what it is. We think that way because everything we do here on earth, in our culture, in our friends, in our people, in our job, in our places, in our family, between husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, everything, we have to earn it. We earn the idea of getting somebody's respect. We earn the idea of proving to people we can do a good job. We prove to our spouse that we're faithful and they to us, and we earn the respect of our children, and we are good or bad parents based upon what we do. But that's not how we're justified in Christ. And this is the thing that Paul was concerned about. So when he talks about a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, let's look at that idea. What is a sacrifice? I think I've got it up here. Sacrifice. A sacrifice is the act of giving something of value. So you're going to actually sacrifice something of value that you have for the sake of something that is even greater or equal value. Now, God sacrificed his own son, crucified. His son was crucified. He gave something of great value or even greater value. For what? For you. Think about that. God sacrificed his son of that value, the value he held his son, trading that life for your life. You are the pearl of great price that the Bible speaks about in that parable by Jesus. That's what God thinks of you. This is the true meaning of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is how much God loves you. I'm going to read on here in verses 6 through 8, and this is in the New Living Translation. In the grace God has given us, these different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you were a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. These gifts that God has given to us are ways that we serve. A living sacrifice is not talking about here what we're doing for God. It's talking about what we allow God to do through us for others. Are you with me here today? Are you sure? Let's see. Wave your hand for a second. Okay. Good. What are these gifts? Now, sometimes people think about gifts and talents as being, you know, the same kind of thing, a gift and talent. And they are sort of the same thing. The big difference is really the attitude in which you approach. Are you doing it to get self-gratification? Are you doing it for what you can get out of it? Or are you doing it for what you can do for other people in service? And when we talk about gifts, we're talking about doing it that way, service to others. I'm going to list these gifts as Paul put them into the scripture. They're not totally inclusive. There are more. And they tend to overlap a lot. So the way they have them listed here, you might find they actually work in combination, because every one of us is unique, and every one of us God works through differently and independently. So as one gift, the same gift might work in one person, it will work very differently in the other. Here are the gifts as he listed them. Prophecy. And prophecy is not always futuristic. It's not always talking about what's going to happen in the future. Prophecy is speaking for God. A prophet was one who spoke for God. So we have those who speak in this church for God. And it's not just the people who stand up here. I'm thrilled to death that we've got several of our people in this church, Mike and LW and others, who are evangelistically going out there and speaking and sharing and looking at even possibly starting a church somewhere else. But you yourself also have the voice of God speaking through you at times where you share with other people. He mentions about serving or helping others. And here, the idea, he says, serve well. If you're going to do this, if you're going to serve well, serve from your heart. Last night, just sitting around that campfire, here was a way that Bob and Felicia just opened up. They used hospitality and service, and they just gave of themselves to God's people. And what a time of refreshing. I mean, it was great. There's the mention here about encourager, the third one. An encourager. Some people have the gift of encouraging. I have a member of my family who has that gift. She has an ability just to be able to touch people's lives by what she says. And when you're really down, if I'm ever really down, I can call my sister. And I could say, Ann, and that's all I have to say. And she'll just start to come, and the Lord just works through her life in that way of doing it, encouraging. It's a gift of the Spirit to others. It's a giver. And people who are givers, God touches, and they use their time and or their money to give to God's people. There's leadership. And in leadership, God gives this talent of management and of planning. And sometimes even of vision. See ahead and to have the ideas of how to direct and lead the people. And there is showing kindness. What a gift we need in our church today and around this world today, showing kindness. It's giving aid to those who are in need with gladness. Now, Paul, as he started this letter, gives a kind of like a little footnote of warning. Most of the time, we're trying to tell you about how to see yourself better, because I know we're up really hard on ourselves. But in this case, he gives us a little warning, and he says, be careful with this. Be careful to talk to you about this, because it's easy for you to get puffed up. It's easy for you to start thinking who you are, especially when you start to find out, discover what these gifts are that God has entrusted you with, and he begins to work through you in ways that are wonderful and amazing. You sometimes forget and start thinking about how special we are. And that's a dangerous place to be. In verses 9 through 13, again, from the New Living Translation, from Romans 12, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying when God's people are in need. Be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Thinking about all the work that has been going into this program for BBS, and it's about to start next week, and so many have been involved with this. Nadeda heading this up. But the enthusiastic work of working and sharing for God to reach out to the community. Paul says, make sure you check out what you're doing, though. Don't just go through the steps. You know, when you're in church, today I greeted Troy over here, and I had seen him last week at the picnic. Good to have you back with us again, Troy. And, you know, sometimes I remember names the first time I hear them. Sometimes I can hear a name, and I can't remember it no matter what. We have a neighbor who's moved in that my wife knew, and every time we walk by the house, I'll ask her the same name. What's her name again? boom, boom, boom. What's the matter with you? It can't. Sometimes I get it, sometimes I don't. But it's really nice because when we were in church, you used to use the term brother. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Hey, yes, good. Yes, I know you very well, brother. And it's easy to, I mean, not that you don't care, you do, but there were times where you just kind of like, yeah, you're not listening to a word anybody says. You just kind of yes at them and nod at them, and you're ready, put your mind somewhere else, and you're ready to move on to the next thing. Paul says, don't pretend to love people. Let the love of God so fill your heart that you start to discover gifts inside of you that God has placed there, entrusted you with, that you didn't even know you had. And one of them may be compassion or kindness towards others. There's a story about these three men, a minister, a rabbi, and a priest. You've probably heard this in a thousand different ways. And the three of them are getting together, and because they can't, people in the clergy and the cloth can't really talk to anybody else. They can't share that because they're supposed to be up here and you know, really holy. And of course, we're just like everybody else. And so they're bearing their soul to one another, and they're kind of telling each other about their things that they do and how they struggle with things. And so the priest says, you know, I have terrible trouble with my mouth. I try to work with it, but the four-letter words just slip out, and I lose my temper, and I curse at people, and it's terrible. And they're kind of shaking their heads. He goes, it's terrible. And the rabbi says, all right, so since you're telling the truth, let me tell you that I'm a kleptomaniac. And whenever I get into a store, I can't help myself. I have light fingers, and I don't know what to do, but I need somebody to pray for me. So they're both now looking at the minister, and the minister's not saying a word. So what's your story? He goes, well, I'm a terrible gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. Don't pretend to love people. Really love them. How do I know what gifts I have? How do I know what God has blessed me with? How do you recognize the gifts that God has given to you? Well, the old expression is, you never know until you get up and try. You never know what you can do until you try. But gifts are given by God, and I mentioned earlier that they work in very different kinds of ways. So you might see someone operating in a gift, and you're thinking, wow, that's really great. You might have the same gift, but it doesn't look the same. Because the way that you are, the person you are, God will work differently in you than he does through someone else. That's why you can hear a speaker, if you listen to the radio for Christian radio at all, and you hear some speakers, you'll hear different speakers sharing God's word. And it's so different in the way they go about it. And you can be blessed so much by one, and yet the other one is just so different in their approach and in their methodology. And yet both blessed by God. Some people have a very sensitive spirit, a sensitivity, and God works with them to see a problem or an issue that no one else notices. And then if you are sensing that kind of thing, then what do you do next? You take action, you move on that, and you approach that person, you go to that person, and God ministers to that person by you, through you, in that gift of sensitivity. There is kindness, and the idea of kindness might include you going to somebody and showing them that you can give them your time, that you offer them words of wisdom and good counseling. There's several gifts working together. They're overlapping there. Mark Twain said that kindness is a language that the blind can see and the deaf can hear. If you're walking by and you're going to a 7-Eleven and someone's sitting on the curb and they're down like this with their head like this, what do? You walk by? You can be prompted by God's Spirit in ways that you're not really even aware of necessarily. Sometimes he's just directing you, and you suddenly find you're in that track and you're moving that way. Yesterday I made a phone call to a friend. And as I'm talking to this friend, he's saying to me, I can't believe that you called me. And he begins to open up his heart and tell me about something that was really very serious. God will just prompt you and move you and work with you. It can happen by a phone call, or it can happen by you going to a bowling alley, or it can happen at your job, or it can happen at a 7-Eleven, or it can happen anywhere. And God can suddenly open up an opportunity for you that you weren't thinking about or expecting. And if God prompts you, then what happens? Do you listen? Do you move forward? A lot of times we are hesitant to talk to people that we don't know, and with good reason. But there are times that God will move your spirit, and you know that there's something going on there. And if you don't do it, if you don't obey that prompting of God's Spirit, the heavens are not going to collapse, and the walls are not going to fall in. But you will feel an emptiness inside of you. It's not the end of the world, because God can always use somebody else to minister to that person, but he wanted to use you. And it's reciprocal, because when you step up to be used by God in that way, you'll be blessed, they'll be blessed, and you can put a smile on your Heavenly Father's face. There's the gift of helps. And this is the process of discovering insights and other things about you and ways of doing it. Helps can come in all different shapes and forms. Today in this place, right here in our body, our Christian body, this church, there are people in this place who today have gotten phone calls. There are people in this place who are expecting, waiting for test results. There are people in this place who are struggling to put on a good smile. They are carrying heavy burdens. And they need you. They need the ministry of God through you to them. There's a lot of you here. There are others of you here who are rejoicing in the Lord, and you're just full of God's happiness and spirit this morning. And God needs to use that gift to share with other people. But this is body ministry we're talking about. God has entrusted us. Will we be obedient to him? This is your reasonable service that Paul writes about in the first two verses of Romans 12. This is what he's talking about when he means being a living sacrifice, a daily sacrifice. When you obey God in this way, and you listen to him, and you move forward in him in this way, you put a smile on his face, and you discover the meaning of true wealth. Some people never find this. They spend their whole life searching for some kind of contentment. They spend their whole life looking for some way to fill their life up. They try sports. They try drugs. They try success in business. They try sex. They try everything possible to try and fulfill their lives, and nothing can do it. No matter how wealthy you become, the wealth is an open end going. It goes nowhere. It doesn't give you what you need. No matter how successful you become, where you get recognized and people know you and they give you credit, it's just not enough. If you're a sports figure or a player and you win the World Series and you become the most valuable player, well, now what? It's not enough. It's never enough. God fashioned your life in such a way that Paul writes that he has this perfect and pleasing plan for you. Jeremiah writes about this. He says, that I know. And God's speaking to Jeremiah, to us and to others. I know the plans that I have for you. And Jeremiah goes on to say, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I had plans for you. Before you were knit together, I had plans for you. And I had this path for you. I know the plans I have for you. And when you give to God what he's asking for you, when you make yourself available to minister to other people by God's prompting, you begin to follow that path. You begin to find the place, the will of God for your life, and there is nothing like that. There is nothing like seeing the light of God come on in the eyes of someone who doesn't know him. There is nothing like that. There is nothing like sharing the presence of Jesus and seeing someone who looked like they were in despair and hopeless come back to life again, that there is an opportunity here. Nothing like it. It's what God has for us. Romans 12, 9 through 21 reads, "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray for that. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable." What do you want more than anything else? I think we, more than anything else, as God's children, we want to be the mirror image of God himself. When people see you, when they want to be around you, when they want to spend time with you, is because they feel something special about you. They're feeling the presence of your Father in you. They don't know it, but that's what it is. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. This week I had a kind of a strange experience. I'm actually doing the walk with my wife. I've been trying to get back to our 2-mile walk little by little. I've been trying to do that. She's doing it great and I'm not doing it very well. And we're at the end of our walk, a shortened version of it, and we come around the corner and my neighbor is outside, and my neighbor is somebody who just talks to everybody, whether you want to or not, he just talks to you. And I said hello to him and he just did this. And I went, uh-oh. So I said, hey, how you doing? And he got this look on his face like, I said, you better go. Jennifer kept walking and I stayed for a while, and he brought this letter out that he had received from someone, and he believed that someone was me. And it was a kind of a corrective letter telling him how he should clean his place up and, you know, just move his nasty stuff and that kind of thing, you know. And he just looked at me and said, you send me this letter? And in his mind, he was convinced that I did. And I looked at him and I said, well, no, I didn't send you any letter. And he hands me the letter and I read it. And it was very nicely typed. It was mailed from some other town, a town that I used to work in as a teacher. And he knew that. And so he just was sure that I sent this letter. And I said to him, no, I didn't send you this letter. And he said, well, I'm going to find out who did. I'm going to the post office over there. They got surveillance cameras. I'm going to check the cameras. I'm going to find out if, and he didn't say it, if you really did it or not. And I looked at the guy and said, you don't believe me. Why do you think that? He says, I know you did this. And then all of a sudden it comes out that he believes I called the town on him several times. And I said, I've never done this to you. And he looks at me and goes, well, I'm going to find out. I said, well, look, if my word's not good enough, I'm sorry. I said, what else can I do? I walked around. It was really kind of like unnerving. And I... first thing was thought was, you dirty, dirty. And of course, I'm speaking this week on Romans chapter 12 about how you should live at peace with your neighbors. And of course, the Lord spoke to me. And we had had a situation with this guy maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. And it was really trying to be at peace with your neighbors, trying to be a Christian to your neighbors. And it was really difficult. It was very hard, this gentleman. And then one day, as I'm outside, he's having a wood cut down, tree cut down, and it's a professional company, and they drop a limb. The limb falls on our shed and goes through the top of the shed. And now I'm thinking, now I gotcha. Now you're going to pay. And as I'm saying that, the voice of God says to me, you are not going to do anything. And so I said, okay. He said, you're going to pray for this guy. You're not going to do anything. And you know what? That situation with doing nothing and just trying to be friendly turned the whole thing around to where he started to become very friendly and see me regularly, more than I wanted to. And it went very, very well just recently when this letter came out. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? So the idea in my heart was, my Lord, just pray for him. Just pray. And it turns out the next day, my wife walking had a chance to talk to his wife, and things went really well with that. You know, God has a way of working situations out. David says in Psalm 34, verse 14, I don't know if I have it up here or not, do I? I do. Okay, he writes this, turn away from evil and do good. Sometimes not so easy to do, right? We're talking about living sacrifices. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and seek to maintain it. We think that peace is something that just comes naturally. Now, everybody wants peace. World peace. There's a guy named Ron Artest who changed his name. He's a professional basketball player. He changed it to Meta World Peace. This is a guy who almost broke everybody's face with elbows while he's playing basketball. He has this conflict of who he is and what he wanted. But Peace doesn't come natural. Peace is something that David talks about us seeking for. Real peace comes when we have this peace with God. It's not like the Cinderella story. You know, Cinderella finds her Prince Charming, and they live happily ever after. That's why they call them fairy tales, because it doesn't work that way. You have to work for peace. You have to work for peace in your home. You have to work for peace with the people you're around. But you don't have to work for peace with God. You receive peace by being in good standing with Jesus Christ, our Lord, with your Heavenly Father. And how do you do that? By faith, receiving in grace. This is a piece that was in the very first part of Romans chapter 1, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I just want to take this. I thought it was great the way Peterson translated this. And he puts, embracing what God does for you is the greatest thing you can do for him. Take that in for a second. What are you going through right now? What is God trying to accomplish in your life right now? We struggle. You know, we have situations we want to get past, or we want to get better at, or we want to. And yet God is up to something in your life. He's accomplishing something in your life. Embracing what God does for you. And we're talking also here about how he develops these talents and gifts in you. Embracing what God does for you is the greatest thing that you can do for him. He finishes this chapter by writing this. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. The opportunities are around us everywhere. The opportunities are here today. Before you leave today, if there's someone here today that you don't know and you are prompted, go over and say hello to them. If there's someone that looks like they need an encouraging word, go over to them by God's grace and give it to them. I know it's frightening. Because there are times we look at a situation and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But God does. By faith, we operate and we move. You don't know what you can do until you try. There are gifts that you have, that you possess, that you are not aware of yet. Because you haven't let the Lord have his heart and way in moving you in that direction. Let him do it, starting today. Someone said, forget yourself, and others will not forget you. Let's pray. Praise God. Praise God. What is it that God is asking from your life? I think you probably know. What is it that God is asking you to do that you've been hesitant to do? The only Jesus that some people will ever see is the one they're going to see in you. And so again, this morning, will you yield your heart a living sacrifice to him? It's not so that you please him in your holiness. The only holiness we have is what we have by our relationship with him. That's our holiness. But if you yield your heart and life and mind to Jesus Christ, if you let his spirit reign in your life, you're going to find yourself walking down a path where you want to be. You're going to find yourself able to accept situations that you thought you never could. Find yourself moving in directions you never thought you could go. You'll find yourself having life in a way that Jesus talks about being springs of living water coming out of the innermost being of your person. This is what Christianity is. Not the religious part, the relationship part. I'm just going to give you a few minutes that we have this wonderful thing we do in this church, and it's giving you time to speak to and listen to God. So just take a moment and listen to that voice of God speaking to you. He may even direct you somewhere in the Word, but just take a moment right now and listen to Him. God is speaking to you right now. You have a pen and paper. Write it down. Get it out. Write it down. He's telling you to do something here. Write it down. Make a covenant with Him. Make a promise with Him. If you haven't got pen or paper, and here's the word you want to say: yes. Yes, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Stand together. Stand with me right now. Praise God. Does anybody in this place, and I didn't intend to do this, but I have to. Does anybody in this place today who doesn't know what we're really talking about here? If you're new to this, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your starting point. Today we have people who are about to be baptized and making that step of open recognition of being baptized today. That's wonderful. But if this is new to you and you're just starting out, and here's what you need to do. If God is speaking to you, and you know if He is because you can feel it inside of you, and here's what you do. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I want you to be the most important thing in my life. I want you to live in my heart. I pray you would forgive me of the things that I have done that have not been pleasing to you. I pray that you would remove the sin that I've created and replace it with the love that you created. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you and praise you for Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless these people. I pray that you'd prosper them, Lord, in every way, but especially in the moving and working of ministry to each other by your Spirit. Make them, Lord God, living witnesses for you. Make them, Lord, living sacrifices for you. Make them, O God, powerful tools and gifts to each other and to those, Lord, who have not come to know you yet. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you, be with you, keep you, strengthen you, and direct you. God bless you.